Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what we said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
welcome to the Prophecy Zone on this 19th of September, almost 19th. This is Rosh Hashanah, the day of Feast of Trumpets. It's a two-day event, lasting to Sunday. So happy Rosh Hashanah to those people out there that it matters. Today, I'm going to be talking about mostly about abortion, but I'm also going to be talking about things that are going on as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. We are on the verge of another 9/11. We don't know, we don't pretend to know what's going on. As far as we hope, no, we pray that nothing happens in this country or any other country. However, mankind seems to go into various cycles, especially in the United States. We go from one thing to the next. You notice, I can even leave off in the Kennedy administration, we always had, even when he's assassinated, we always have every, like, 5 years something major happens, but every 10 years something really major always happens, and every 20 years something greatly happens. As far as the United States is concerned, we have been blessed not to have any invading armies invade our territory. I mean, if you don't call that blessed, I don't know what you're going to call blessed. We are a country that, if you look at all the other past superpowers, or if you want to call it superpowers, empires, from Babylonian Empire to Medo-Persian Empire to Greece to Rome, the great empires, Alexander the Great, of course, even Genghis Khan, those empires are nowhere near the United States when it comes to its citizens being free. Now, reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're so free that sooner or later it's going to be the nail that breaks the camel's back. You say, what do you mean? Well, Thomas Jefferson said it. I'm pretty sure it was him. He said, I should have looked it up before my show came on. But he said, let me see if I can get this right. He says, give the people what they want. And when you stop giving them what they want, they're going to vote you out of office, vote someone into office that will give them what they want and recycle this way of life over and over again until the treasury is fully broke. Of course, emphasis is mine all over the place. But normally I brought it down to common English. So what happens is when the system begins to give, when the government begins to fix, becomes what is called God, and when the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the government gets out of control, the people will vote in or take out of office the person that they already voted in and put somebody in office that will continue to give them more. It cracks me up when I used to look at Vladimir Zhirinovsky, not Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, sort of a madman in Russia. He wrote a book called A Dash to the South. And if you read the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's exactly to the T. That's why a lot of Bible-believing Christians, prophecy buffs, thought that Vladimir Zhirinovsky will come to power. But he never did. But another Vladimir did. And the definition of Vladimir is madman. So we got a Vladimir in there. It just ain't Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Well, anyway, he was trying to give the public vodka and all kinds of whiskey and buy their vote. Evidently, obviously, it didn't work. But to prove Thomas Jefferson's point, it's all over the place, okay? But the thing is, though, even if we were taxpayers and we didn't, you know, the government didn't print money out of thin air, the system will be able to work, actually, to help people. Now, how far is the system supposed to go before it is called a socialist system? Okay, so I'm getting off the track what I actually wanted to talk about. The Word of God talks about, now I'm talking about abortion, if everybody wants to know what I'm talking about, talks about in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, it says, but when Jesus saw it, of course, I'm back up actually, I'm going to talk about in verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought the little kids. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, the disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not inherit the kingdom of God, according to therein. Okay, so that talks about meekness. A child is teachable and meekness. Now, that's not the point I want to make. The point is that Jesus is asking to not defraud the kids to be able to come unto me. Okay? And that's why, that's actually, let's keep going. When Jeremiah was commissioned, in chapter 1, it talks about Jeremiah, and chapter 1, verse 4, then the word came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, what God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah was saying, I'm young, so why would I have to go out and preach? Well, God is saying, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God is not only taking it to the fetus, he's not only taking it to the egg, but God himself is saying that even before you were born. So what does that tell you right now? So not only God, I'm going backwards sort of, but the verse I just read to y'all in Mark 14, or 10:14 says, don't cause the kids not to come to me. Tell them to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Okay, so abortion, you can trick yourself all you want and use magic tricks and call good evil and evil good, but abortion is murder. And I always use simple analogy. Nobody actually seems to get it. Why would you have a bridal shower for nothing? I mean, it seems to insult my intelligence, what little I have, and it seems to insult everybody else's in the whole country's intelligence if a mom decides she wants to have a baby shower for nothing. Because that's evidently what the abortionists are telling me, that the baby is not a baby. I mean, to me, I look at, and I'm not calling anybody names, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, but I am. Actually, yeah, I am. Now, this might not make sense to y'all, but I'm going to read Psalms. And I'm not saying because you don't read the Bible, you're a fool. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, let me just go ahead and read this. Okay, Psalms 14, verse 1. The fool that said in their heart, there is no God. I'm just going to stop there. Now, Jeremiah just said, God just said to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So what you first have to do is say to yourself, there is no God. Then that relinquishes all accountability towards God. Well, you say, well, I'm going to get to a lot of Christians being, there's a lot of Democratic people who are serving the Lord, but they voted for Obama and Bill Clinton. But I'm gonna set the record straight for you. Okay, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, but I'm also an independent. Now here's the deal with this. Now you guys get on, and I'm not saying that they're right either. I'm not saying Bill Clinton and President Obama is right. I'm saying they're fully wrong, especially when you go into China, trying to finance China abortions. I mean, what's wrong with you, man? You gotta be a real vicious person to want to do that. But anyway, let's look at George Bush. God says that their heart, their mouth speak of me, but their hearts are far from me. Okay, when a Republican says we are pro abortion against abortion, but do nothing about abortion, is that good? Is that worse? Isn't that kind of worse? To me, that's worse than saying you for abortion and still, you know, you're for abortion. He's saying George Bush and George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan. Now, I don't know what the implications would be if they say they just signed an executive order, no more abortions. But a woman's right to choose is very, very, very sacred to a woman. Now, and I'm just as wrong as everybody else, so don't take this the wrong way, but I wish Eve would have chose right when she was in the garden. Of course, we'd still be in this mess anyway, because Adam would have found out a way to do it. And, well, at least, Eve was taking leadership a long time ago. Some of women are the smartest people I've met in the world, because women have a sense of, they have a great, what is it? Men are hard sometimes, and then women are more compassionate. But these days, you see a brother crying over a woman quicker than you would a woman crying over a man, and that's the hilarious, because I guess they've been treated wrong so long. But I'm all off subject. So my point is that I'm going to continue. I want to read something to y'all. And I'm a slow reader. I'm like, especially at this time of night, my brain is like illiterate. So just bear with me. But it says, why God's judgment is upon America. Okay. It says, according to recent reports published by Paul Scott syndicated column, 1,200,000 abortions took place in the United States last year. Even more shocking is the information that the government financed between 222,000 and 278,000 of these abortions. Now, that's a lot of abortions. Now, I think if you had kids, wouldn't the economy sort of run a little, I mean, what's the point of the globalists trying to kill off that many people? I think the globalists are sick. You say, why are you jumping to the globalists? Well, abortion is population control, whether you like it or not. Okay, and they're also trying to kill us with all these foods. They got aspartame and a diet soda, and don't tell me that's retarded. Because I'm proving fact. When I drink diet soda, doctor, my arm hurts when it does like that. But don't do like that then. I mean, of course I shouldn't be drinking it, you know. And I slow down a lot. I'm actually down to zero almost. I'm drinking Diet Right right now, and it don't have any aspartame, and it actually has Splenda. Splenda might even kill me. I haven't found out about that, but if you got to eat something, I can almost come up here and justify not eating anything. Just be like one of those ladies that hide in a room and throw up all day. Forgive me, God. I apologize if anybody out there who does that, and I pray for you. Anyway, continue this article. These figures were furnished by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, HUE, for the Senate House conferred, whatever that means, consider the HUE Labor Department $330 billion appropriations bill. Other government experts estimate that the government paid for 300,000 of these abortions. The cost of government-financed abortion amounted to between $40 and $50 million. So the government spent $40 to $50 million killing babies. Woo-hoo! Had it not been for an anti-abortion amendment tacked onto the HUE appropriations bill by three courteous senators, this information would never have come to light. Now, don't forget that the Word of God says that all things that are in the dark will surface to the light sooner or later. And that goes for me and you. And even good things will surface if nobody's watching you and you don't get any credit for doing something good. Senator Barkley, I don't even know what I'm saying, it's three senators. Senators Barkley and Hems were, of course, helped by different right-to-life groups. Okay. So we got some senators who are trying to help out, very few, because some of those senators and congressmen don't have a backbone, and they're going to have to follow the herd anyway. Is this the greatest crime in history? Some might not think so, but I maintain that this may be one of the greatest crimes in the annals of human history. This may be the crime so dark, a sin so black, that nothing can stand the hand of God's righteous judgment upon America. Cain slew his brother Abel, but Abel was only one man, and as an adult, we presume that he had the power to defend himself. Okay. So we've been killing each other from the beginning. Now, in Genesis, after the flood, God talked to Noah and made a covenant with Noah. But he told him to go out and replenish the earth, subdue it and multiply. But he also said that you will not be killing, or if a man kills another man, his blood is required of him. Now, capital punishment. People make a big deal of capital punishment, but abortion seems to be just as long as we can't see it. It's kind of retarded, isn't it? Now, I bet you what if the dude on death row just kind of like, I'm invisible now, so I guess I can get off and go home and until y'all find a cure for me being invisible, I guess I won't be on death row no more. Or should we say we're going to kill him? Because we can't see him. You know, they That's what they're doing with the babies. They're killing them because they. It's like we're playing, oh, I don't see it in my eyes, like some acorn ladies. Oh, I don't see it. What are you going to tell us that for? We don't see. You see them acorn ladies? I call them acorn heads. Oh, so you're going to bring 13-year-old kid? Oh, we don't want to hear it. You don't have to tell us all of that. You don't have to tell us all of that. No conscience at all. None. Okay. I told y'all I was going to be kind of, I was sitting up here reading. I don't know if I'm just tired or, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. I'm either illiterate. I got a 3.8 in English this semester, and I can read the Bible at nighttime. I can read the Bible pretty late. But I was like struggling to read that article, but I read it in its entirety. And it's a pretty good article. It says Americans have many false gods. However, we believe that one of America's chief gods is lust. Young people are being told, do your own thing, and they are doing it. In our schools, churches, and homes, the old absolute standard of morality are out. And that is true. You ever heard somebody says, well, what's right to me is maybe not right to you, but what's right to you might be right, you know, who's on first? It says, now it is the situation ethics or worse. Books, magazines, movies, and television are almost completely given over to the promotion of God, the God of lust. Every time I'm walking in a store, I look to the right, look to the left. No matter where I'm at, it's some form of nudity or something vulgar that I have to walk by. Especially I was at the bookstore today, and that was the case. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it says America's God is lust. Now, the lust of the flesh also has something to do with, to me, selfish ambitions. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, a part of abortion is that the lady wants, she's not ready yet. I'm not financially ready, or I'm not mentally ready, or I'm still young. I have my life ahead of me. So she can go and carry it out on her own desires. You know, she wants to continue with the same thing that got her in the position of having a baby in the first place. Sooner or later, you're going to end up having a baby. And woe to the girl who has many abortions, because I pray for you, and I pray for people out there that you can end up having complications in your pregnancies. The human sacrifice to gods. Biblical and scholar histories contain many accounts of pagan people sacrificing their children to their gods. In the worship of Baal, this sacrifice was called passed through the fire. Some of the kings of Israel offered their own sons in this matter. 2 Kings 16:3 and 21:6. The book of Jeremiah contains a striking condemnation of the awful practices. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And this is Jeremiah 19:3 and 8. It says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense and into the other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. Something like the Antichrist, but it's not him. Nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with in blood of innocence. They have built and also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came it into my mind. Okay, so people are offering, they were all back there offering their babies into sacrifice. This time we're in the sacrifice of leisure, the sacrifice of finance, you know. It says, the chickens are coming home to roost. At long last, the proverbial chickens are coming home to roost. Remember Malcolm X said that? Because the abortion and many other sins against God, this nation is being to reap what is sown, especially in the economy. It says, the righteous is all of a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness does exalt a nation. It really does. If you have, like even with my life, if I have good financial practices, and the Bible says a wise man saves. Okay, so if I'm saving and I'm not borrowing, what did it say? That we should be the head, not the tail? Then you financially okay. If you honor your wife as Christ for the church, and you have good finances, what does that tell you? There's a good chance you're going to be married for a while, right? What about AIDS? If you wait until you marry and you don't live together, the Bible says a man should have one wife, even a preacher, then what? Okay. So, We have to look at abortion as a crutch. But now, do we judge? I mean, seriously, do we go and just say, woman, you're crazy, you need to be, you know, we don't do that. What we do is, especially a younger girl, I say we take care of the baby. I'm scared to death of what I just said, really. I got a 12-year-old daughter upstairs watching TV. She still suck her thumb. She was sucking her thumb in the womb. So she's still sucking her thumb. And we tell her, Zane, I can walk right by her. I go upstairs and get something to drink, walk right by her. Zane, quit sucking your thumb. And it's like I have to remember, hey, this baby girl, you know, she... And we raise our kids up the way they should go in Jesus, and we, because I used to be, don't ask me why I'm talking like this right now, but I used to be really firm with my kids, and now I'm realizing too much firmness you have to kind of look like be a cross between James Evans and on Good Times and Leave It to Beaver's dad. You have to be a cross between both of them, meet them right down the center. Because if you don't, they're going to go out and get pregnant. And then you're going to have to, you know, I'm not getting an abortion. I'm sorry, not even with my daughter. She's my stepdaughter, though, but I love her with my heart. So, you know, I just teach her to wait until she's married. And if she doesn't, then hopefully she learns that not go out and have another one. But we're going to raise them up, you know, the way they should go. And hopefully they'll, you know, follow. But I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. You better go to church. Well, up until about 18, they can call their, you know, as long as they don't come up in my house acting crazy. You know, especially the son. My oldest son, 14 years old, you go out there, you get a girl pregnant, you're going to take care of him. I say, what's the difference between the son and the daughter? I still ain't put my finger on it yet. I think. See, I'm taking care of his dad's son, which is still my son, but I'm taking his dad is not giving any child support. See, all these men having these kids, and they're not taking care of them. That's a nationwide big thing. And then they say the black man. What are we going to do? The plight of the black man. Well, first stop telling them it's a plight. And I mean, it will be heavy prayer to change this culture because they think it's cool to have girls all over the place pregnant and don't pay child support. But the government is going to get your check sooner or later. So I tell the people, the young men out there, the adults that's listening to this radio program who has, like, you know, boys, 14, 16-year-old boys, give a mathematical equation. Lay out on a piece of paper four men and then chart all those men's destiny and then stick in there, you know, Ray Ray, you know, Bob, John, and Quincy, and then put, you know, Ray Ray got three girls pregnant. John waited until he graduated from college, you know, the other two, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then take away from Ray Ray's pocket and show him or her, of course, your daughter too. And, I mean, the thing is that if you're not taking care of your kids, the government, the chicken's going to come home to roost somewhere. And if you're the girl, the chicken's going to come home to roost because the girl's normally the one to take care of the baby. Your time's going to get sucked up. I love my one-year-old. I got a one-and-a-half-year-old. I'm the man. And I got this ministry. I got different things I'm doing. And I'm still in school, and I got income, pretty nice income. But I love my boy. Like I said, I've been tied down for the sake of the conversation. I've been tied down for almost 3 years because when I came into before we had my biological one, me and my wife she's already had three kids. So the youngest one, and I love my little boy, even though it's not my biological one. And I've been tied down, so you can never say I've been tied down 1.5 years before this one, and then 1.5 years now. So I know how it is to be tied down. So women want to put their kid over the altar of convenience. How convenient. How convenient. Let's just kill our kids so we can all have a good time at the party. Go out to a club. Come on now. Let's go to, you know, I'm going to get my freak on tonight. Yeah, you need to get your freak on all night. When your chicken's going to come on the roost, I swear you're going to end up with some kid. It always comes back to roost. You know? So what we need to do as a nation is we need to pray for this generation to get saved. Our generation's good. I mean, this in the tribulation period, I hate to put everybody in the tribulation period, but I'd rather just tell you now, just in case, this is Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not saying it's going to happen tonight or it could happen tonight, it could happen Sunday, it can happen next year, it can happen even, we might all be wrong, it might not be Rosh Hashanah, it might be just any day, like he said. No man knows the day and hour, but this holiday is supposed to be the no man knows the day and hour holiday. So it's a surprise. And I believe, and I do, this isn't just me, but right now, I'm to a position of, okay, I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if there's no war or no, you know, things that are happening at the time of the rapture and then after the rapture, all the stuff take place, okay, I was wrong. If it happens next year, I never said it was going to happen this year. I just said these are the years it can take place, okay? However, the United States will continue a downward spiral. And it's not just because of abortion. It's because, I'm going to pick the simplest thing out for y'all. The simplest thing. It's because when you get up, now I'm not talking about you individually. I'm saying the person who thinks they're saved. Now, in the Word of God, it says, they get up in the morning and don't remember me not. Or, you know, I'm nowhere in their thoughts. So the Bible is saying that if God is not first in your life, and not at least a close second, course, I'm kind of at, and I shouldn't have said that, but he can work his way up to first if he's even third. But some people use God as a good luck charm or a byproduct. And see, don't forget that we wouldn't be in the position of abortion. I'm talking about as far as the couple is concerned, if we were following God's word. There wouldn't be no temptation. I mean, it's going to be temptation, but there won't be any temptation to get an abortion because you wouldn't be put in that position to get an abortion. Well, that's not cool, man. I got to wait till I get married. Yeah, practically. I've been doing this show for almost an hour, and it's going by really quick. I can't believe it's going by so quick. I want to let you listen to this young lady. She's very wise, smarter than I am. And then I'll come back. And you can even go on my webpage and listen to it on Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. But just go ahead and listen to her.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing. After all, a fetus is a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that since abortion is legal now, it doesn't matter.
Okay, sorry about that. I actually held my phone up to the other phone and got a little squeal there. But anyway, my phone ran out of batteries. I wanted to talk about, right quick before we go off, a little bit about, and I'm going to also play another clip from her, but I wanted to talk about I'll just play her clip and then I'll come back.
But if an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities. And we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example. Only...
I'm back. One of the people in the chat room wanted to call in. I guess they were calling in. I apologize. I've been having so many problems with people who call in, especially when your show is sort of, I kind of don't really advertise. I just come on, and I don't really know the base of people who are calling in. I've had bad, really bad troubles, and I'm starting to have bad troubles with people in the chat room. So I really kind of ignore it, and I apologize. I've been on. I apologize also. The guy's called We Kill Children, and it's sort of a misnomer, but it's in reverse. But I've been to his website or her website. I don't know if it's him or her, but I just say him, their website, and it's legit. And I apologize. I wish I knew it was you. I'll probably let you call in. But the last couple of times I've had callers call in. One dude told me that he asked me that I vote for Obama, and I said no. You know, I don't know what I said. It's been a while back. And he said you voted for that in. So, and then after that, there was a person calling me. I had to actually throw him off, sort of. That's why I kind of like skipped a few shows, skipped a while because I got tired of these people calling me at nighttime. I said these people, this lady's calling in drunk. And I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not a golly show, you know, but the enemy is all over the place. So I've had bad luck, big time bad luck. I had like a few good callers. Now, if I decide to continue, you know, if I advertise to everybody, spending time doing it and then run my shows through the search engine, I'll probably be okay with it. But for right now, I'm just moving along. I got a few minutes. I'm going to try and let this caller come in. Hello, caller? Hello, caller? Caller? Okay, they're not. Maybe I just can't hear you. I apologize if I can't hear you. Okay, I'm going to play this last piece of her, the little girl.
1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being in danger. 1%. That hardly justifies the disturbing volume of abortions that happen these days. And who's to say abortion is the easy way out? I don't think people understand the effects of abortion on a woman. I don't have time to list all the negative after effects, but here are a few examples of the physical effects. 17% of women who've had abortions face complications in their subsequent pregnancy. Some may not even be able to give birth at all. They are also at a greater risk of developing breast cancer if they have an abortion. But perhaps the worst effects are the emotional ones. Women who've had an abortion tend to have more mood disorders substantial enough to provoke them to harm themselves. In addition, women who've had an abortion are 5 times more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol abuse. Abortion leaves a woman feeling lost and uncertain about their future. Almost 1/3 of all women who've had an abortion are dissatisfied with their decision. It certainly is not the cure-all people think it is. I read a story on the Focus on the Family website. It was about a girl who had an abortion. She writes, I had an abortion at the age of 17, and it was the worst thing I ever did. I would never recommend it to anyone because it comes back to haunt you. When I tried having children, I lost 3. Something happened to my cervix during the abortion. Sharon Osborne. Hers is just one of the many heart-wrenching stories that nobody tells these days, and those same ones are the ones that we need to hear about. Thank you for taking time to think about the issue of abortion. To think about the...
Okay, I'm going to try to get this caller back in. I got 9 minutes. See if I'll get this caller back in. Hello, caller? Caller? Okay. Well, the caller was not there, so. Well, on my next show, I'm trying to get a show in tomorrow. Talks about Bible prophecy. My show does not focus on abortion all the time. However, I am very much against abortion. I don't really pay attention to the chat room as much. Once I get a, I just have it for people who want to come on and have a good conversation. I don't really too much, you know, people say some of the weirdest things so far in the chat room. Once I do get my show going, I'll probably just start asking people out. Because some people are saying some of the weirdest stuff, and I just have some of the baddest luck, and I'm pretty sure it's God's will for me to have this show, because I've never had so many opposition in my life before, you know, and I don't think I have a big listenership. I mean, not even close. So maybe it's potential listenership. But God bless everybody out there. We got 7 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys listen to this, and I'll be right back.
If you go with a bailout, you're going to destroy the United States in short order through hyperinflation. The bailout is intrinsically hyperinflationary. The only reason that anybody in their right mind would even think of supporting this bill is because they're scared. And we need a Gideon's army to pull through the reform. And some of you who are biblical scholars, you know what I'm talking about. You have to take all the people who are cowards, who will not step up to the plate, as they say, on this issue, and say, okay, dear coward, we're taking over. We're leaving. Now, the danger here, of course, is that you're going to have a French Revolution problem, as I said, inside the United States. You now have, and some of these idiots, and even my friendly friends out there, who say, please, please be cautious, let this bill go through so they won't shoot us.
Okay, that was Lyndon LaRouche. He makes a lot of sense. We all know that Gerald Celente and the Russian economist said, Gerald Celente said it's going to be a revolution, and the Russian economist said that by 2010, this country is going to be split into six different pieces. Four, did he say four or six? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. It's still bad. And Lyndon LaRouche was saying just about the same thing. Let me let y'all listen to the one on the food crisis. We got 5 minutes.
Now, for a number of months now, there has been a worldwide food crisis caused by many things, by the financial policies, various kind of management deals, by the WTO, which ought to be eliminated, by the promotion of biofuels, which is destroying food supplies. This biofuel program is a gigantic swindle for which there is no possible justification. None. The justification comes out of the World Wildlife Fund of Prince Philip.
The spooky music. I haven't listened to these little files I've had. I put this file in like a long time ago, and I just didn't know the music coming, trying to scare you. I play Lyndon LaRouche. I don't believe 100% because I think he's kind of weak. I mean, in some issues. I think he. Like, let me put him up to Gerald Celente. Gerald Celente is not a conspiratorial person. He just comes straight at you, and he forecasts things. Alex Jones, he forecasts, but he also comes at you with more of a conspiratorial. Lyndon LaRouche comes at you conspiratorial, but it's more towards And he might be right. The British Empire, the American Empire, where Alex Jones is, you know, coming to you from the Illuminati, secret societies. I believe that there are secret societies. I believe that you'll be a fool to believe that there is no. Because it's kind of funny how we sit in class, we sit on, you know, we sit on the porch, grandma, grandpa, and the family sit on the porch, or we around a bonfire in America, or, you know, family discussion at the table, and we can't seem to figure out why the problems can't get solved. Why? I mean, and then somebody comes to you and say, well, this is like 9/11. 9/11 was this is a terrible event. How can we stop it? I mean, I was watching the History Channel, and I have never been convinced, not even if I don't read no books about, you know, conspiracy, if I don't listen to Alex Jones, I don't listen to none of these guys, Dr. Stan Ortiz, Steve Quayle, if I don't listen to none of those guys and watch the building, I guarantee if I was younger and I saw the buildings, how far the planes hit up, I would have said to my mom or dad, because that's what I did with the Kennedy assassination, I don't believe it. At an early age. And it's just too suspicious. Everything's just too suspicious. And then the way they try to tie Bin Laden to Saddam Hussein is just amazing to me. And American people buy it. And it took them a while to figure out that there were no weapons of mass destruction. I went to my mom and said, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Well, you trying to tell me that there ain't no weapons of mass destruction? Blah, blah, blah. No, there's no weapons of mass destruction. A couple years later, oh, yeah, there ain't no weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, of course, Ma. I tried to tell you that. It's like I'm trying to tell you 9/11 is an inside job.
And 9/11 is not an inside job.
All right, Mom, whatever. Just like you told me Jesus was black. How is Jesus black when he's Jewish? I mean, you literally trying to tell me Jesus was African? What Bible are you reading? Well, anyway, pray for people in the chat room. I wish I'm gonna start advertising pretty soon. I'm gonna do a show on Rosh Hashanah tomorrow or today or whatever, because today is today, not yesterday. And everybody out there, you guys have a wonderful day, and I'll see y'all on the other side of tomorrow.
Igor Nikolaevich, to one of your previous lectures, you mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on?
In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen.
God bless. know if God doesn't want me to have that. Take that out. Come on, man.
Left in the hat. Looks like they're going to make a nickel or dime. Go, win, win, win. Your step is the deep man awaiting your return. Call for the fair guest.
Thank you. execution, they never got anything going that time.
Rico did it. He didn't want to come and do nothing. You did it.